from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Oh, it sure is, but a little bit different edition of the Insiders. Matt George filling in today for James Hamm. James still down on assignment in Cabo. He will be back Monday. So Matt George from ABC 10, nice enough to fill in. Hey, buddy.
Hey, I'm happy to be here, man.
No bets this time?
No.
No bets this time? We're out on that?
No.
I was a little disappointed, honestly. So if you missed last time Matt filled in on this show, we made a bet on the... Was it a season opener?
God, it was that long ago. Oh, my God. It was literally the start of the Kings season because it was Kings-Warriors home opener.
All right, so before the season opener, Matt and I made a little wager on that game where the loser would have to eat spicy foods of the winner's choice. And the funny part of this is that you wound up doing it to yourself.
Yeah, I doomed myself.
Yeah, because I got what I thought was going to be... So I got a couple of different like spicy kind of chips, but it was fine, nothing crazy.
Casual. Yeah.
And then I got a curry,
which was bomb,
that I thought it was delicious.
So good.
It was fantastic.
You're just eating it.
It just wasn't that spicy.
Not at all.
I put in the DoorDash order. I was like, make this as spicy as you can. And they didn't. They definitely didn't. But you then got one of the hot sauces, the bomb hot sauce from Hot Ones,
right,
and really did it to yourself.
Yeah, it was...
That was a tough go.
It was an adventure. It was an adventure. And shout out to Kyle, because that was during a recording of the Locked On Kings podcast, and Kyle had to essentially carry the final segment of the conversation while I was going through an existential crisis.
At one point, you went, Talk about stuff for...
I quit.
Yeah,
I
you got up, it, man.
And I started biting into a jug of ice cream
sweet
relief.
That was
making
crazy.
Eye contact with you while eating a popsicle. That was a weird moment.
Making eye contact, but just kind of looking through me. There was nobody home.
Oh, no. I was seeing red, man.
All hands on deck.
Survival mode kicked in. Yeah, Da Bomb is no joke. So when you see those celebrities have those reactions, they're not... And I had like a drop. They get a decent amount on that. I had a drop.
Yeah.
It's awful.
Man.
It's part of my podcast set now, the little bottle.
So no wagers will be made on spicy foods today. We are going to talk about the Kings, though. So you've not been in, obviously. It's been Jesse Tapia. Salute to Jesse. Did a great job filling in this week. Where are you at on the Kings as of today? Because the Jalen McDaniels trade happened after our show yesterday, so we've not gotten a chance to talk about that. That was Davion Mitchell, Sasha Vezenkov, the number 45 pick in this year's draft, Portland's second round pick in next year's draft that goes to Toronto for Jalen McDaniels. What's your vibe today?
Yeah, I know we're going to break down the trade a little bit more and we'll talk about Devin Carter and everything. So I'll kind of just sum it up here briefly.
Sure.
Essentially, like, to me, it's a what's next, right? Like, it's an incomplete.
Yes.
Like, the offseason is... nowhere close to being complete. And even Monty, by his own words at the press conference at the end of night one of the draft, he was saying like he considers the draft almost opening night of the offseason, even though they made the Malik signing, which he's not allowed to talk about for some reason, and the Mike Brown hiring. Yeah, they couldn't. He couldn't talk. I asked him about it. He basically said, I can't talk about it right now, even though free agency has changed for your own free agency. I don't know. But he's already made moves this. He did the Mike Brown. He made arguably the biggest moves of the summer already with Mike Brown and Malik Monk.
Huh.
But he considered the draft like the beginning of the offseason. So in that, if that's the case, we're very early days into this offseason right now. So there's still a lot more to come. I hope. There should be.
There has to be. I literally yesterday on the show, Jesse asked me, do you trust Monty McNair to make those additional moves? Because I'm all in. I mean, the Devin Carter pick was odd at first.
Yeah.
Because the consensus was just not a guard.
Yeah, we were on the same wavelength.
And then they take Devin Carter, and it's like, well, okay, he's good.
Yeah.
He can play. Mm-hmm. And I thought he would be an upgrade in their guard rotation, and sure enough, Davion Mitchell was part of that deal to get Jalen McDaniels. But so the consensus on our show yesterday, and I think in the Chatty House as well, and salute to the Chatty House at youtube.com/ESPN1320 and twitch.tv/ESPN1320. The consensus kind of was like, yeah, okay, Devin Carter is good. Mm-hmm. Full stop. That guy can hoop. But that can't, like, what? So is Kevin Huerter just going to play the three and that's the wing depth? Mm. That can't be it. And so Jesse asked me if I trusted him to make those moves to kind of improve that wing depth, whether it's over Harrison Barnes or whether it's in the rotation as a seventh, eighth guy. And I said I trusted him to make a move, but I didn't trust him to not have it be. And I literally said Jalen McDaniels and re-signing Kessler Edwards.
So it's your fault.
So I'm 1-for-2 so far.
There you go.
I expect the Kessler Edwards news shortly.
That's why this is the insiders. Kyle Madsen had Jalen McDaniels before literally anybody else.
Yep. You never wrong, just early. yeah, man. So I'm kind of with you. I think they're in a good spot for the most part. It's just very obvious. They're in a bit of a unique position to me because it's not like they're up against it. Mm-hmm. And it's a, they got to sign somebody for a vet minimum and that's what it's going to be. They're not, Golden State has to figure out what they're doing with Chris Paul. They got to figure out what's going on with Klay Thompson. If they don't bring those guys back, okay, what are they going to do? It's not like a convoluted thing. With the Kings, it's pretty straightforward. They need wing depth.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
And maybe depth at the center spot. If you can find it.
Yeah, to me, like, the word that I keep going back to is the word that Monty used when he first took the job, and it's flexibility. Like, flexibility is what is one of the primary things that's most important to him, and he's been consistent with how he has run this organization throughout his time here in Sacramento, living up to kind of that flexibility term. Mm-hmm. The Kings have, whether through comments or rumors or moves themselves, set themselves up this offseason to go in a multitude of different directions, right?
Mm-hmm.
They can go for the big swing right now if they want to. They set the table for, hey, we can not exactly run it back, but we can sort of run it back. Both Mike Brown and Monty McNair made comments at the end of the season in their end of season press conferences like, We're not that far away. We're pretty close. So setting the table for, it's not a bad thing if we don't make a swing this summer. We know we have to improve and we're always looking to improve. That's Monty's thing. We're always looking to improve.
Of course.
But Monty is not the kind of guy that's just going to make a move for the sake of making a move, which is respectable, but at the same time infuriating. When you go through two trade deadlines, the most recent one, you see a team like the Dallas Mavericks make the moves they have to make, and lo and behold, they made an NBA Finals run.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know. I don't think the Kings would have made an NBA Finals run if they made those moves, but you have an obvious weakness.
Yeah.
Address it. And you had, with the 13th pick, a chance to address it. You chose not to. Mm-hmm. Okay, you still have time to address it. You need to. There is no running Kevin Huerter and whatever you have and Kessler Edwards and Jalen McDaniels into next season and going, okay, now we can feel confident about our ability to compete in the Western Conference.
Yeah, and I think the thing with the draft pick specifically is I think Devin Carter is going to impact winning now.
Mm-hmm.
I think his role this year will be different than his role next year and the year after that as he kind of grows into the NBA, but I think he can do enough things to help them win this year, which is great. But I think even if they had drafted Jacoby Walters, the guy I always go to, the forward from Baylor,
yep,
or the wing from Baylor, he's just the guy I always land on. Even if they had drafted Jacoby Walter, I would be saying the same thing.
Yes.
It's not, hey, yeah, this guy is going to be your ninth guy now. Mm-hmm. The need is still there. It's just such a vital thing in the NBA, which is why going and getting Jalen McDaniels is great. If they re-sign Kessler Edwards, okay, great. But there has to be, and I think that's where I was so focused on something like big. It's Brandon Ingram, it's Kyle Kuzma. Now Paul George comes up, who we'll talk about in a little bit. But to your point with Dallas, Dallas didn't make any earth-shattering moves.
Nope.
They got better for sure when they brought in PJ Washington, and they got better when they brought in Daniel Gafford. And that's where the Kings, to me, okay, if it's not Kyle Kuzma, then it has to be or Brandon Ingram. Then it just has to be somebody who's better than what you have right now. Mm-hmm. If you can take Harrison Barnes, who I think is Harrison Barnes is a fine NBA player, I don't think he can win a title if he's your starting four. Mm-hmm. That's just kind of it. Yeah. But if he's your eighth or ninth guy, where you have that versatility, he can guard two through four, he can play a little small ball five in a pinch. That all of a sudden that depth feels better. So you just need it. Just needs to be an upgrade,
right?
And who that is, I don't know, but it doesn't. I think we've gotten so hyper focused on the like Kyle Kuzma type of move or the Brandon Ingram type of move, where it's like, okay, if that's not there, fine, go find something else then. Mm-hmm. That's not Jalen McDaniels. All due respect.
Sometimes I like to do this little exercise where it's like, what? Take the actual actions or moves that they're being made and pretend they were words at the beginning of an offseason. So the moves that Monty has made to this point, right? What if he had said at the beginning of the offseason, we're a rookie and a rotational wing, kind of, in Jalen McDaniels. I don't know if he's a rotational wing or not. I kind of put him in the same box as Kessler Edwards at this point. We're a wing depth piece away from truly competing. Imagine if he had said that. We would all rolled our eyes. It's not enough. It can't be enough. No. And I think Monty has even acknowledged that to some point when he was asked about it on draft night, and he talked about roster construction. He goes, hey, we're aware. We know we have other moves to make on the roster. But essentially what he said, and this is where we have to have faith in our GM, and I use the royal we as in us in Sacramento. Mm-hmm. We have to have faith in our GM, because what he said was, we had options available. I thought the Kings were going to pull off a buzzer beater trade. I really thought they were going to.
Yep.
And they had deals in front of them. Now, if it were to come out that there was a Kyle Kuzma deal lined up and they said, you know what, we're going to go the Devin Carter route, I'm probably going to have a little bit of an issue with that, but that information might not ever come out. But we know there were deals in place or there were conversations happening. And what Monty said was, we weighed all of our options. Carter fell to 13. They were not expecting him to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And Monty said, out of all of our options, nothing was better than drafting Devin Carter.
Sure.
That's where you have to trust the general manager that even though we have these hypothetical ideas in our brain of, oh, get that guy or get that guy or make this kind of improvement, that's us kind of playing in the fantasy world based off of rumors and what we think would work versus he's the general manager that's actually having conversations. And if he's saying that nothing else was better than taking this rookie who is 22 years old, high defensive upside, can play both ends of the floor, then we have to take him at his word with that.
Yeah.
But that doesn't give him a pass for, you still have these holes on your roster. You had eight guards at the time. Mm-hmm. You've now traded one of them in Davion Mitchell, which is good in a move that is a complete precursor to something more. It has to be. It doesn't make sense if it's anything else.
Yeah, we'll dive into that move a little bit more next. I get it for sure of Devin Carter was the best option, and I think he'll help him win games, and that's great. But man, It would be really, really tough, I think, to feel great going into the season if that's it.
Right.
And that's kind of where it's a tough line to walk. But this Jalen McDaniels move is interesting. Why did they do it? Who is Jalen McDaniels? How can he contribute? We'll talk about all that next. Plenty of Kings coming up. And is Brandon Ayuk just going to sign his contract today?
Let's do it.
He might. We'll talk about it next. That's Matt George. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're hanging out with you until noon on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Now, back to the Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
That's kind of the Insiders. That's Matt George from ABC 10. I'm Kyle Madsen. I'm always here. Matt's not. Matt's just...
I just broke in today.
Yeah, Matt, I have no idea who invited him.
There still are people that don't think we are two separate people on the
radio. Correct.
There still are people that exist that genuinely think we're the same person.
Yeah, which I don't like. I get it. If you're only hearing us, we don't look alike. No. But... If you're only hearing, I think I get it, but I hear your voice differently than I hear my voice.
Sure.
So I don't hear it.
I don't either.
But
I think that's offensive to you, though. If you sound like me, because you're the legit radio professional.
I was playing it fast and loose with professional.
But you've been in the game. I got out the game.
But I think being a television professional is more of a thing than being a radio professional. Being a TV guy and walking into a press room is like you're the jock. You're the like, oh, I'm the TV guy.
I'm the jock, and that's bad.
No, just not you, but TV guys in general. It's you, it's Jake Aiden, it's Sean Cunningham, it's Kevin John. I don't want to leave anybody out. Who am I missing?
Michelle Dapper. Michelle Del Dapper. Rogers.
Sure. All them. When they walk in, it's like the jocks walking in. When the radio guys walk in, it's like, meh.
No.
The radio guys are here.
The radio guys are the kids that maybe you pick on, and then you actually get to know them, and they're the coolest people that end up being your friends beyond high school. Right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And then the writers are the...
The quiet
the kids. AP course.
Yeah.
People.
Nerds.
916-909-1320, 916-909-1320 if you want to join the program. Don, you're on the Insiders. That's Matt George. I'm Kyle Madsen. What's up?
Am I on?
Yeah, Don.
Am I the right Don?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yo, what's up, Matt? Yo, Kyle, what's going on, guys? Happy Friday, broskies. Hey, I wanted to ask a question. So obviously, you know, we're all waiting on Monty to make his win now move. Do you guys think, what would the trade package be to get a guy like Cam Johnson? Monty's made deals with the Nets before, and I feel like Cam would probably be cheaper or easier to get than maybe a Kuzma or even like Paul George or all these other players out there. What would you think the package would look like?
Perfect. Thanks. First of all, pause. Second of all, ask me what my package looks like. That's crazy.
Yo, it's too early for that.
Yeah, I'm in agreement. I think Cam Johnson and what it would take to get Cam Johnson would be, I don't want to say better than going and getting Kyle Kuzma, mm-hmm. but I think it would be less expensive. Mm-hmm. And I think that Cam Johnson, for me, is an upgrade over Harrison Barnes, if not maybe not much of one, but I think he would be an upgrade. Mm-hmm. It would just depend on cost for Cam Johnson, I think.
I think it's hard to look at it from this perspective because we're thinking and looking from Kings first, right? So we're looking at the different targets out there and going, who do we want to go out and get that would fit on the Kings the best for mm-hmm. for the cheapest price?
Mm-hmm.
I think another way to look at it is you have this, the main package of what the Kings are putting out there is Barnes and Herter. Usually a combination of the two, right? I think it's safe to assume that there probably isn't a boatload of interest in that trade package around the league. So when thinking about Cam Johnson and the Brooklyn Nets and the direction they're going versus Kyle Kuzma and the Washington Wizards and the direction that they're going, which teams would have more of an interest, you think, in two players who are not expiring deals? They're under mm-hmm. contract. Now, Kevin Herter's contract is really good. The Harrison Barnes contract isn't that bad either, but no. Harrison's under contract for... They're both under contract for two more years.
Mm-hmm.
I think Harrison's at like 18 per year and Kevin's at 16 per year. Mm-hmm. Washington, I think they far prefer expiring deals, which is one of the reasons I was a little surprised to see Davion Mitchell included in this trade to the Toronto Raptors, because I think mm-hmm. Mitchell is an expiring deal that you could have put into a package for a Kuzma, or if the Brooklyn Nets, who are now in rebuild mode, wanted to take on some expiring money as well and get some draft assets for their rebuild. Mm-hmm. They just got a boatload of picks for Bridges, but maybe they want more.
Sure.
I think you could have used Mitchell and maybe even Trey Lyles. Sasha is not technically an expiring deal, but his final year is a club option, so you could treat it like an expiring deal if you wanted to as a team. So that kind of surprised me a little bit, but I like the idea of Cam Johnson. I love the idea of getting both Cam Johnson and Dorian Finney-Smith.
That'd be great.
Could swing it, because yeah. Why would Brooklyn hardball you on both of them when they're clearly trying to move in a direction away from where they're currently at?
Yeah, I think the other thing with this is, I think if based on what we know about Monty McNair and finding the right deal, like that's always been the thing, right?
Yeah.
It's not just making a deal to make a deal. It's the right one, like you said earlier. That's where I think... That's where I think Cam Johnson is maybe more feasible, or Dorian Finney-Smith is more feasible, where they might be able to find a sweet spot where the Kings say, okay, this upgrades our rotation, it upgrades our wing depth, And we didn't have to overpay for that player. Or we overpaid a little. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was a future protected first and a second. Like, don't love it, but fine. That's why I think a player like Johnson or Dorian Finney-Smith is more realistic at this point than Kyle Kuzma, because I think if they were going to go get a big fish like Kuzma, I think they would have done it already. Mm-hmm. And I don't hate it. It's just... I don't know what Brooklyn is doing, and I don't know what they want out of those deals. And if they're going, we need multiple firsts for Cam Johnson, then I don't blame the Kings for not doing that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when it's tough to be like, we'll get into a bunch of picks for this player who's 28 now, mm-hmm. and has been largely underwhelming the last couple of years, mm-hmm. and may or may not be an upgrade over Harrison Barnes.
Right.
And you know they're getting rid of him.
Right. The Kings are trying to save their draft capital, because outside of, they still have their 2025 pick tied up in the Kevin Huerter trade with the Atlanta Hawks. Yes, that's still freaking going on. But outside of that, like, they have all of their draft capital going forward, which is a really positive position to be in, right? You have assets. But you don't want, if you're going to use those assets, you want to make sure you're using them for the big swing that is, like, the same way. Look what we just saw the New York Knicks do, right?
Yes.
They just went and got Bridges, who was a dream target for me for the Sacramento Kings as well. Mm-hmm. They threw as much draft capital as they could, 5 first round picks in that deal, one of them being a Milwaukee Bucks pick. But that's the kind of position that Monty, I think, wants to maintain flexibility for, to where, hey, let's say the Kings go out and get a Cam Johnson without using a bunch of draft capital.
Yes.
And let's say, okay, they make the playoffs, they're a 5th seed, and they make it out of the first round. Awesome. Now, going into next season, is that the time where you want to really make that big swing to add mm-hmm. that one missing piece to put yourself in legit championship contention? You need more context before you get there.
Right.
But I understand hesitation from Monty. This is why I was never really a big fan of the Zach LaVine idea.
Sure.
Going all in right now, when you still have so many question marks about this core, if you go all in for a Zach LaVine, for example, you don't have to go all in for a Kyle Kuzma, but if you go all in for a Zach mm-hmm. LaVine, not because he's going to cost a boatload, but because financially he's going to pretty much cap you out,
mm-hmm.
then you have to be pretty confident that that group immediately can show signs of being a legit contender. Because
mm-hmm.
if they don't, you don't have a lot of flexibility to address that unless you're willing to move on from a Keegan or a Fox / DeMontis Sabonis, because you're sure as heck not going to be able to move on from LaVine. You're stuck with him at that
point.
So that's why I think there's hesitancy amongst the Kings. They don't feel they have to go all in right now, which might be frustrating for us when we're like, look at the West, you need to get better.
Yeah.
But getting better and swinging for the fences are two very different things, and sometimes that line gets blurred.
Right. It's like they have this one, you articulated better what I was trying to say earlier. They have this I'm going to call it a suitcase of assets.
Sure.
And okay, maybe they can go get Kyle Kuzma, but they have to make that one big suitcase of assets 3/4 smaller to go get Kyle Kuzma, mm-hmm. who I think makes you better for sure. Like, full stop, he's your starting four and you feel great about it.
Yeah.
But now in the future, when you're in the Knicks position and you're like, man, we are one big piece away now you have this quarter size suitcase. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden you're making smaller moves and we're wondering why they're not going all in.
Right.
It's a little bit, not apples to apples. It's a little bit what happened with Kevin Huerter. They made that trade for Kevin Huerter, and now their assets are still tied up,
mm-hmm.
which made it a little more difficult to make moves.
Mm-hmm.
So I rock with that for sure. And if they can find a deal for the right price with Kevin Huerter or Cam Johnson or Dorian Finney-Smith or some combination of it, great, awesome. But I also understand if the Wizards are asking for ostensibly their entire war chest.
Which
it's
never going to happen, right? And I think they have to know that and be aware of that too. And I think there were reports that initially they were seeking 2 firsts for Kuzma in a package at the trade deadline. Nothing mm-hmm. happened, and the idea is that price has dropped down to 1 now at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I think Kyle Kuzma can be got for a combination of matching salary and 1 first round pick. I mean, look what they just traded Denny for, which mm-hmm. blows my mind that they made that deal. But
I'm with you.
They're clearly picking a direction, I guess. So I think Kuzma can be had, and I still think Kuzma makes a ton of sense, but if I think that and I know that it's possible, you best believe Monty and the front office have been on the phone with Washington, meaning if the deal has not gotten done right by now, on some side, there's hesitancy, whether it's the Kings hesitant to give what the Wizards want or the Wizards hesitant to give or to accept what the Kings are willing to give, right? So there's kind of, you're biding your time here a little bit. I think for the direction that the Sacramento Kings are going, Kyle Kuzma makes the most sense as the biggest swing that they can make this offseason without completely hamstringing themselves or locking themselves in. But the Dorian Finney-Smith or Cam Johnson route might be what makes the most sense for where the Kings are at right now, to where if you can get one of the two of the, I think Mike Brown would be thrilled with either of those guys, if not both of them.
Yeah, for sure. I agree.
Getting both of them is probably going to take a decent amount.
Yes.
But if you can go out and get one of them and maybe hold on to Harrison Barnes in the process, then now you feel pretty good about your wing depth enough to where, okay, the two of them compete during training camp. Let's say it's Cam Johnson. Cam Johnson versus Harrison Barnes. Training camp, you're fighting for that spot, that second wing spot next to Keegan. Whoever wins it, you get it. The other one is coming off the bench in a significant role in that sense. Versus if I trade Harrison Barnes to go out and get Cam Johnson, for example, now I have Kevin Huerter on this roster who, and it's, I don't think it's a Mike Brown versus Kevin Huerter thing at all. I know both guys are professionals. I know they respect each other. They don't fit, right? It just, it's clear writing is on the wall that they do not fit. They do not work together. So the idea of keeping Kevin Huerter, trading Harrison Barnes to address your wing depth, you're still kind of in a similar spot. Now, I think Cam Johnson would be a slight upgrade over Harrison Barnes, sure, but this team is more than a slight upgrade away from legitimately competing in the Western Conference.
Yeah, and that's where it's kind of interesting is, okay, they can go make a slight upgrade, and we're going to blow through it. We're good. They can make a slight upgrade and get it a little better. It's just doing that and overpaying and hamstringing your assets down the line, that doesn't make a ton of sense. So it's what can you do with your assets that you have on your roster with a first-round pick included? And if that's Cam Johnson, if that's Dorian Finney-Smith, maybe there's a deal on the table for Kyle Kuzma. And maybe they have that deal and the Wizards have said, yeah, we like this idea. And the Kings are working the phones because, you know what? Hey, Paul George might get traded here. Traded here in this timeline, correct, not to Sacramento necessarily.
Right.
The Athletic, Sam Amick and Anthony Slater wrote a piece this morning, and this is what I do for the radio. When a piece like that comes out, I open it and then I control F Sacramento because I'm not going to read the whole thing just to find the Kings news. I'll read it all eventually.
Sure.
But prepping for a show, zero things in there about the Kings.
Makes sense to me.
But if you're Monty McNair, A, you probably don't want that out there. So maybe they're keeping it under wraps. And again, I'm very theorizing here that they don't want to tie up an asset or two in Kyle Kuzma or Dorian Finney-Smith or Cam Johnson because, hey, this Brandon Ingram trade stuff is still, there's stuff in motion. And the Kings are on the phone trying to get involved in that. And, oh, hey, Paul George has indicated some, again, making stuff up here. Paul George has indicated some interest. He wants to stay on the West Coast. That's his only stipulation. Oh, Kings are on the West Coast. We got these assets. Okay, let's call the Clippers and let's start talking things out where if you make this deal for Kuzma, it's like, okay, that's it. You're out of the running for that and that. And you know that Kuzma deal's on the table. So that is in the back of my mind too, where, hey, maybe it's not a bigger move down the road they're worried about. Maybe there's a big fish to go potentially land now, and they're hoarding assets for that. And okay, Paul George signed with the Clippers. He's staying there. Brandon Ingram got traded to Atlanta, or they tell the Kings, hey, you know what? We're good on this. We're working out this other deal. Cool. They call Washington. They do that salary dump, or not dump, but salary swap and a first, and they land Kuzma. Sure. Everything's good. But there's just not a rush to do it, I don't think.
Yeah, that's where I think, again, it goes back to the word flexibility. And that's just, I have this mental picture in my brain of Monty and his front office sitting around a table, and in front of them are like four pieces of paper, four photos. And one's a photo of Kuzma, one's a photo of Cam Johnson, one's a photo of Brandon Ingram, one's a photo of Paul George. And underneath them are like notes of what it's going to take and repercussions and what it looks like. And they have all these options mapped out and they're exploring all of them.
There's a whiteboard.
There's a whiteboard in front of that Flotty took a picture of that leaks his information online. But regardless, like there's these options out in front of them, and some might be swept off the table because they're taking the time to gather everything. So a team might go, well, we're not waiting around. We're going to go this round instead. So now you wipe that one off the table. But the Kings are trying to collect as much information as possible and an idea of what the package is going to look like and what position it puts them in going forward. And then they'll make a decision with one of them. Mm-hmm. Like that's, if I'm trying to put myself into the brain of Monty McNair, just based off of the access that I have and conversations that I have with him. I've never had much of a conversation with him that wasn't on the record and in a press conference setting. But just my understanding of how Monty operates, that's what makes the most sense. The Kings are basically compiling different options that they have. They'll lay them all out there, and hopefully they'll be able to have their pick of which one is best for them. When you take that route, though, you run the risk of you're kind of playing different people. You're dating, right? Mm-hmm. And some might lose interest and go other ways. And then now a deal that was potentially available to you is no longer on the table. And then you see the reactions that we see on social media, which is, they got that person. Monty, what are you doing? How did they get that? How was that all it took to get that person?
Right.
Well, maybe because the Kings had a deal in place, but they waited to look at other options. So you just never know.
Oh, boy. Let's talk about this Jalen McDaniels deal. That's Matt George. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders, hanging out with you until noon. So yesterday, the Kings made a move, and they acquired Jalen McDaniels.
Woo!
Davion Mitchell gone, Sasha Vezenkov gone, number 45 pick in this year's draft gone, Portland's 2025 second round pick gone. There's two prongs to this. Mm-hmm. Let's get to the Jalen McDaniels one first.
Sure.
This is fine. I like Jalen McDaniels as a project, but he's also been in the league for 4 years now, and he hasn't been able to crack a rotation in Charlotte. Couldn't regularly do it in Toronto. Maybe he gets to Sacramento, gets in their player development program, and takes the leap that Kessler Edwards never took. And, oh my God, the Kings got their starting four for basically nothing, is what that would come out to. No disrespect to Davion and those picks and Sasha, but if Jalen McDaniels turns into Jaden McDaniels, his brother, if he turns into Jaden McDaniels, that trade is going to be like, wow, fleeced him.
Yep.
But I'm not super confident that that's going to happen.
Yeah.
This is a nice, to me, from the player addition perspective, this is a depth play, but I'm not super amped about Jalen McDaniels hanging out on the Kings.
Yeah, this is, it's kind of a harsh thing to say because we're talking about a human being and a player that's unique and brings their own stuff to the table. But to me, you added a body. You added a 6'9" body. You added a wing, which this team needs more of. So you've added more size. You added another option to take a look at going into training camp. Right?
Can't sit here on the radio every day and be like, they need to get a wing. And then when they get a wing, I go, not that one.
Exactly. So you got a body. But look, Jalen McDaniels had a woefully bad offensive season last season. Like 16% from three-point range, but that's not even that bad. It's like 33% from the field, period.
34.4%.
Sorry. How dare I? 34% from the field is horrendous.
Bad.
Now, he has defensive upside. He has the measurements. He has the athleticism. He has the wingspan. Mm-hmm. So, again, he's a body. But if we're talking about this trade just from an asset-for-asset trade, the Kings got fleeced because you gave up two rotational caliber players. Davion Mitchell, we know, can play rotational minutes. Sasha Vezenkov, there is a question mark. I don't think the Kings properly utilized him. I also don't think it was a good fit, period. I thought Sasha Vezenkov was a year too late. A year earlier, he probably would have been fantastic on that first version of the Kings. But where the Kings were trying to go last season, he didn't make sense. And the way Mike used him or didn't use him, I think speaks volumes to that. It just didn't make sense going forward. But Sasha, I think, is an NBA caliber player. You gave up two players that can play rotational minutes in Toronto, plus two second round picks, and just got Jalen McDaniels back, who is a body or a fringe rotational piece. But that trade isn't about the assets, Kyle. The trade is about the finances. The trade is about the money. I don't know when you want to dive in and break into part down.
So when I saw this deal, because all it said, the first report from Woj was that they just traded Sasha and Davion.
That was it.
To Toronto.
It's like, there you go. Take them.
For what? Woj.
If Woj is not telling you immediately what the Kings got back, that means it's probably not as good as what they gave up.
Yes. Or they were kind of just like, yeah, we're working it out. We got to get somebody.
No, they're going.
It's one of these couple of guys. So it winds up being Jalen McDaniels, but the second piece of this, and the piece of this that you can look at it two ways. There's the optimistic way to look at it and the pessimistic way to look at it.
Sure.
It got him under the luxury tax.
Mm-hmm.
So the optimist says, giving themselves some room.
Yep.
Clearing up some money. What? Paul George's going to want a max. Brandon Ingram's going to want a max. Hey. The pessimist goes, that's their priority.
Yeah.
Is getting under that tax line.
Vec doesn't want to pay a tax bill.
Buddy, it can't.
No, it can't be that.
Just for my mental health, I'm refusing to believe that that's what this is.
I think that's a little bit of PTSD, too, from all of the public Mike Brown negotiations, which were silly and ridiculous and should have gone that long. But look at Vivek's track record. I know it hasn't been the best. He's made a lot of mistakes as an owner. But the one thing Vivek has never failed to do is spend money. Now, he hasn't spent money correctly. They've spent money on the wrong kind of things at times. But Vivek has been pretty consistent with, like, compared to the Maloofs, Vivek's been pretty consistent with spending money. And I think the writing's on the wall. And if Monty hasn't had the conversation with Vivek already that, hey, with the state of the Western Conference right now, we're probably going to need to dip into the luxury tax if we want to maintain this core and legitimately compete. Vivek's the one that's upset that the Kings missed the playoffs last year. He wants to be a perennial playoff team now that the drought is finally over. I understand that completely. You got to spend money to be able to do that.
No doubt.
You have a payday that's coming up for Keegan Murray. De'Aaron Fox is not signing an extension because he's holding out for a supermax possibility if he makes another All-NBA team. And that's going to be $300-something million, one of the richest contracts in NBA history. So the writing's on the wall that you're going to have to dip into the luxury tax. You also have a new TV deal coming in that's going to raise the cap and help you avoid that luxury tax a little bit more.
Yep.
So the luxury tax today is going to be the standard tomorrow, right? Mm-hmm. That being said, I don't believe for one second that's what this is. I think it's a precursor.
Yeah,
you're setting yourself up for financial flexibility. You're now $7 million under the luxury tax and now just shy of $15 million under that first luxury tax apron.
Yes.
Once you get past that apron, now you start to have some, not penalties, but there are rules put in place to keep competitive balance. There's certain things, once you pass that first apron, there's certain things you can't do,
right.
Like sign a certain free agent or execute a sign and trade or something. We don't have to get into all that. But essentially, you have...
You don't want to be on either apron.
Correct. You do not. But, so you now have just shy of $15 million before you hit that apron.
Mm-hmm.
Use that $15 million to either go out and sign a free agent or execute a trade where you can take in some salary. Or, of course, if you include Harrison Barnes and Kevin Herter's deals in a trade, now you have wiggle room in addition to their combined $34 million that you can go a little, you can take in a little bit more than that $34 million in a big deal if you want to make a big swing.
Mm-hmm.
Again, flexibility is the word. I'm going to keep saying it. It gives Monty flexibility to make a big move. The skepticism is, will he actually make it, right?
Right. Okay, we'll continue talking about this. We'll continue talking Kings offseason. A couple of interesting moves in the West that we will get into, and we'll talk about day two of the NBA draft as well, because that was a fascinating television production.
Something.
Don, I see you on the line. We will get to you next as well. Your calls at 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. That's Matt George filling in for James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders. We'll be right back on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Matt George there, Kyle Madsen here, James Hamm, Cabo. We'll be back on Monday. I'm Matt George, ABC 10 filling in today. Talking about the Kings offseason, just kind of recapping what's happened through the now that the draft is over, the Jalen McDaniels acquisition, clearing up some money, what could be next. Meanwhile, elsewhere in the West, and Don, I see you on the line, we'll get to you shortly. The Mavericks traded Tim Hardaway Jr., who inexplicably fell out of their rotation. Well, not inexplicably. He started playing really badly.
Yeah,
he fell out of their rotation in the playoffs. He gets moved to Detroit.
Sorry, guy.
Toronto coming up in a minute. He gets moved to Detroit for Quentin Grimes, who I really like for them. That's a really nice pickup for Dallas. He can hit a three, plays some good defense. Does a lot of the things that I think Devin Carter is going to do for the Kings. Mm. So he is now in Dallas, and that opens up the full non-taxpayer mid-level for them to pay Derek Jones.
Yes.
So the Mavs going to try some form of running it back after going to the finals. That makes sense. And then other NBA news, the Raptors gave Emmanuel Quickley 5 years, $175 million. That makes sense after trading OG Anunoby to acquire him.
Yep.
Want to keep him around. And the other interesting piece out in the West, the Warriors and Chris Paul have extended the date of his guaranteed dollars to Sunday.
Mm.
So they have to either, they can waive him outright on Sunday. It had to. It was originally Friday. It's been moved to Sunday, mm-hmm. according to ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski. According to Woj.
Yeah.
So the Warriors by Sunday can either outright waive him for no money, or they can trade him and his $30 million contract by Sunday. So that's why they extended it to Sunday to give themselves a couple extra days to work on.
So the deadline was initially today, and it's been moved to Sunday.
Yes.
Understood.
Which means, apparently, they're trying hard to acquire Paul George. Hmm. So,
shocking.
TBD on that. But that's, again, that's just another, you look at the Spurs, you look at the Mavericks, you look at, I think the Grizzlies will be better next year. Look at the Rockets trying to acquire any big name they can possibly bring in. And that's another reason I think it's so frustrating watching the Kings go, yeah, Devin Carter, Jalen McDaniels, and then wait. And then hang out.
We're good to go.
Like, oh, God. Don, you're on the Insiders with Matt George, Kyle Madsen. What's up?
What's up? This is Fred Peeble, your local seriotologist.
My man.
Kyle, so Matt, I was wondering, I was kind of surprised that Davion was used in a smaller package deal. Like, I thought he might be in a larger package to get maybe the bigger splash, or as you would say. Were you surprised at all by that? And for those guys that they signed on those two ways, Are any of those really intriguing to you? Do you like any of them to crack a spot in, not necessarily a rotation from the start, but make the team and maybe have a chance at some point of cracking a rotation?
I'll answer the first part of your question.
Thanks, Fred.
For sure, because I was surprised. Like, I thought Davion, because Davion had value, and he's on a rookie scale contract, meaning at the end of this year, his money's off the books, but now you have his restricted rights. Mm-hmm. So you have options, you have flexibility.
Yeah,
he's a young player. So, and he can offer a team, we know what he can offer on the defensive end, and offensively, he's shown growth.
He was really good in the second half of last year.
Really, really good. Mm-hmm. So, I am surprised, because I really thought that he would be one of those guys that you could include in a Washington Wizards deal or a Brooklyn Nets deal to where they get a young player that has value, and if it doesn't work out, he's off their books. Like, I just thought that made a lot of sense. But in order to get a team, any team, to take on salary and help you free up salary, you have to give them something in return to do that. Mm-hmm. It's not the Raptors doing the Kings a favor. It's, hey, give us something to make it worth our while to help free you up financially. I do think giving up Davion, Sasha, and 2 seconds is a lot.
Feels like a lot.
To go $7 million under the cap. It's a lot, but nobody's going to care if you use that money in that space properly. But if you don't, or if all you do is add another rotational style piece, then people are going to look around and go, you couldn't have just traded Davion straight up for that rotational. You why did you go this route? Right. Mm-hmm. So I was surprised that Davion was included in this deal instead of a bigger package for more of a name that they're looking for.
Well, that's why it was so fascinating that Woj's first tweet again was just, the Kings are trading Davion Mitchell and Sasha Vezenkov to the Raptors. And so it was immediately like, go to the Raptors roster. Man, Davion and like, that's kind of, it's not a lot, but that's not nothing.
Right. It's two rotational players.
Start going through and seeing who it could possibly be. And then it's Jalen McDaniels. Oh, and the number 45 pick is going. It's like, oh man, that's kind of, and a second round pick next year. Portland's second round pick next year. So conceivably an early second, it's like, man, what?
Yeah.
Which is why, again, going back to the salary dump aspect of this, it has to be a precursor.
It just has to be. It has to be. Like, you don't there's make that no move and give up that many assets unless you're opening up money to make something happen.
There's just no way, super calculated, very patient, waiting for the right time to strike front office led by Monty McNair is suddenly like, yeah, sure. Yeah. Unless they love Jalen McDaniels or something, which would be fascinating.
Maybe.
Fascinating. He's gonna fill the Kessler Edwards role to me.
He's
gonna have a moment or two in garbage time, and you're gonna go, oh, and he's never gonna hit the floor again.
Not if he's shooting 16% from 3-point range.
Yeah, that's what's weird. Is just on Jalen McDaniels specifically, he was 16.9% from beyond the arc last year, or last season. But in 24 games with Philly the year before that, he was at 40%. Mm-hmm. And then with Charlotte before he moved on to Philly in the 22-23 season was at 32%.
Yeah, he's like a career 33% three-point shooter.
Yeah, 32.2. But that got dropped a lot by 16.9 last year.
Yeah, didn't help.
So maybe being empowered, maybe the Kings are going to empower him to have a rotation spot and he's going to be great. But if he can play, look, here's the thing with Mike Brown. And again, we're going to stick specifically on Jalen McDaniels here for a second. If you can play defense and you can guard effectively, like 1-4, like I think Jalen McDaniels can in his kind of peak version, they're going to find a way to get you on the court a little bit.
Yeah, but that's where I think the Kings are moving in a little bit of a different direction, is because I think Monty and Mike are trying to get away from the guys that give you a lot on one end and question marks on the other. And that's easier said than done, because you'd love to have the perfect, well-rounded player. But Davion was, look what he gives you on defense, but offense is a question.
Yeah.
Sasha was, look what he gives you on offense, but defense is a question. There are a number of guys, like Kevin Herter, look what he gives you as a shooter. Defense is a massive question mark, right? I think the Kings are trying to get away from that and go and get more versatile guys who are consistently giving you something on both ends. That's why Devin Carter, I think, jumps off the page. Defensively, you know what he gives you. He can also rebound the basketball, and he shot 37% from 3-point range last season.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, I see the fit on both ends of the ball. Mm-hmm. That's why Jalen McDaniels to me doesn't fit that mold. Mm-hmm. He fits the mold of getting more wing depth and getting another body out there. So take a look at them and see what you have, and you can use them as kind of injury depth and roster depth potentially. But Kessler Edwards has been here for two seasons and has barely gotten any playing time, and he's considered one of the better defenders on this team with Mike Brown as the head coach.
That's a good point.
So
that's a good point.
I don't know. There just has to be more, right? There just has to be more.
Also, the Mavs are potentially in on Klay Thompson, apparently. I don't know.
Be my guest. Go for it.
I meant to mention that earlier.
Nice little goose egg against the Sacramento Kings in the play-in game.
That was tough to watch. Yeah, I think just kind of wrapping this up, and then we'll move on to some day two of the NBA draft. Overall, for me, I like the position the Kings have put themselves in. So far, what would you grade their offseason so far?
Probably a B+.
Yeah, I'm there. That's about where I'm at.
Getting Malik back was ginormous.
Yes.
And getting him to re-sign before the draft itself, that's Malik doing the Kings a favor.
Yes,
that's ginormous.
No doubt.
And re-signing Mike, I know it was bumpy, but getting Mike handled.
Yeah, you got it done.
Yeah, you got it done. So that in itself is enough to, like, at worst, you're going to get a B.
Mm-hmm.
And then Devin Carter's not a bad pick. He's not a bad pick.
No, I think he's going to be really good.
Position is an interesting choice, but the player is not a bad pick, or at least from what we believe he's going to be, it's not a bad pick, but they're still incomplete, right? To be determined.
Yeah. I think so far, I think B+ is a good place to be, especially when you talk about freeing up cap space and the Devin Carter fit. They're really excited about that. Okay. That's great. But man, if this is the team
right
by the first game of the season, I have a very different grade at that point.
I mean, that's what I'm saying, is you see the build, right? Mm-hmm. You can see the Mike, then Malik, then Carter, then this trade. You can see the build up to ta-da, but what is freaking ta-da? Like, what is that final
thing? So help me God, if it's Dorian Finney-Smith and nothing else, I'm going to lose my mind. Traded a first and something else, and Chris Duarte for Dorian Finney-Smith.
I do think Mike would love DFS, though. I think
Daily Fantasy Sports?
Yeah, that too.
Mm-hmm.
I think Mike Brown is probably a huge fantasy guy. But Mike Brown, I think, would love Dorian Finney-Smith. But I get what you're saying. If that's the big move.
Yeah, that would be fine.
Underwhelming.
Yeah, but if that has to be, if they did that, that would be like, oh, another piece of the build. And then what?
Right.
Like now.
But that might be what this offseason is. That might be another piece of the build this year. Again, see where you're at. And then the big swing still to come later. I don't know if Kings fans can stomach.
Look, dude.
I know.
I cannot do. I'm telling you right now. We got to go here in a second. I cannot do another Kings season of, yeah, hey, you know what? They won 48, 50 games. They even made the playoffs. I cannot do another offseason of big swing time. It's big swing time.
Radio listeners, Kyle's eyes are watering. He's stressed. He's stressed. It might. I'm just warning you. It might happen.
I've unloaded all my big move takes.
It might happen. It really might happen.
Monty, if you're listening.
He's a patient boy.
Monty, if you're listening. I don't ask for a lot. I think I'm a pretty good person.
You are. You are.
Don't put me through this again.
Well.
All right. We have to go for real this time. We'll talk about day two of the NBA draft. And we'll have some good idea or bad idea coming up. And, of course, the handoff. Kenny Caraway, D'Lo, and Casey will be joining us as well. That's Matt George filling in for James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We'll be back with the second hour next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.